The pre-K through 12 appropriations subcommittee will come to order. Adrian, will you please call the roll?
Chair Fine.
Here.
Vice Chair Bill.
Here.
Representative Lupus. Andrade.
Here.
Bartleman.
Here.
Bush.
Here.
Hawkins.
Here.
Maney.
Here.
McLean.
Here.
Roach.
Wait.
Bush.
Roach.
Oh.
Smith.
Here.
Trunow. Excused. Valdez.
Present.
Willite.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Have a quorum, sir.
All right. Well, members, welcome back week two, our meeting week two. Make sure your electronic devices are turned off or are on vibrate. We will have a relatively short agenda today. We're going to really do two things. We're going to do our appropriation project bills, which we have 54. And then we're going to do a presentation, and we can have a discussion on our FY 2021-22 FEFP third calc, i.e. in English, how many kids are in school right now. So we've talked a lot about previous years and COVID and before COVID. This is our first look at, in the current school year, which is half over, how many kids are in school. So first, let's take up the consent agenda. Remember, members, we vote once on the agenda in its entirety. The public is welcome to testify on any of the bills listed on the consent agenda. We will not take up question, debate, and vote on each of the bills individually. Instead, we will be in questions and debate only once. Remember, you may vote no on any particular bill by submitting a nay vote consent agenda form with Adrian before the vote. Members, in your packet under the first tab is a chart listing the 54 appropriation project bills for today. With that said, are there any questions? Okay, seeing none, we do have a couple of people who wish to provide public testimony. We've got Wendy Dodge with Polk County Public Schools waving in support, and Marty Coley with representing KinderVision, the greatest save, which is, I'm trying to find here, waving in support. Okay, that is our public testimony. Members, is there any debate? Okay, seeing none, before I call the vote on the consent agenda, Adrian, are there any nay vote forms? Okay. There are not. Adrian, will you please call the roll on the consent agenda? Remember, a yes vote signifies an affirmative vote for every bill on the consent agenda.
Chair Fine?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bill?
Yes.
Representative Lupus? Andrade?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Trunow? Excused. Valdez?
Yes.
Willite?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Favorable, sir.
Members, by your vote, all of the bills on the consent agenda will be reported favorably. All right, so our one piece of business today, we're not voting on any bills. It's just one, perhaps, final presentation. I don't know, we'll see, but we're going to talk about, again, current school enrollment. So, members, as you may remember, we ended our interim subcommittee meetings with a presentation and discussion on the final calculation of the FY 2021 FEFP. That's last year. That calculation showed an overall decrease of almost 89,000 students compared to what was appropriated in the previous year. And I would note it was down 89,000, and we normally see an increase from year to year. So the number that was gone was even in excess of that 89,000. Today, I want to close out our discussion on the FEFP with a brief presentation on the preliminary third calculation of the fiscal year 2021-22 FEFP using the October 2021 FTE survey data, which we just got in the last few days. So if you open the presentation, who's going to click? I will. All right. I got it right here. So we'll start with slide two. The results of the October 2021 FTE survey have been provided to the legislature, and staff has used these results to recalculate the FEFP. This is known as the third calculation of the FEFP. The first calculation is in the GAA conference report. The second calculation is done in July when the certified tax roll is received. And then the third is based on the results of actually counting like human beings that are attending school. As the slide states, the primary reason for completing this calculation is to adjust school districts' FEFP distribution to reflect the actual FTE compared to the forecasted or appropriate amount. So working with school districts, they tell us and we work with them on what they think is going to happen, but then the October calculation reflects what actually happens. Because of our early start to session, the results of the February FTE survey or the fourth calculation will not be available for us to use in creating next year's FEFP. So our starting point in building the budget will be the results of this third calculation. And again, we'll be presenting that budget sometime in the next 7 weeks, right? So sometime in the next few weeks. All right. So here is the FTE and funding in the FEFP. This shows the five-year history of what we see. And so we've got a lot of numbers here, and let's just kind of go through them, and then I'll give some explanation. So 2017-2018, 2,822,000 FTEs. That was up 18,000 from the prior year. These are the actual numbers. 18-19, 2,831,000, went up about 9,000 kids. 2019-2020, 2,860,000, went up 28,000. So as I said, you can see Florida's a growing state. In every year, we've ended up with more people in the FEFP. And then COVID, boom, 2021, you know, we go down by 59,000 students. Again, plus we don't have the normal increase that we normally get. So in creating the budget, we appropriated 2,868,389. We assumed that there would be an increase of 66,881 students. But after butts in seats were counted to create that, the number is actually 2,912,887. Now, there is one important factor that we have to consider in this is that the numbers are not apples to apples, because last year we expanded school choice and we brought children into the FEFP that were getting educated but weren't previously counted and paid for through the FEFP. So there's actually 55,000 students, 55,000 new family empowerment scholarships that are not included. That were not included in that appropriated amount. So you actually, where you add up 66 and 44 and you'd get to 110, it's really 55,000 more on an apples to apples basis, which means basically we have almost gotten back the students that were lost, but not completely. And then again, there's this notion of growth that's not accounted for. All right, so we can come back to that slide if people have questions, but those are the numbers of students. Next couple slides, we just wanted to show the school districts that were different. So you can see the next slide is the top dozen, I think, school districts, top 11, that show a decrease based on the third calc. And this doesn't mean students didn't show up. This means what we budgeted, what they thought were going to attend, and then what actually were in seats, they just overestimated. And most of the differences are fairly small. They're all fairly small on a percentage basis. Obviously, the Broward number looks big in an absolute sense, but it's also, you know, the biggest base to operate off of. I think some were off by a couple of percent. Slide 5 shows these where more people showed up than were effectively budgeted for. And you can see these 10 school districts that ended up, again, more students showing up. So when we do the calculations, orange being the largest with 4,300 students, but, you know, even some smaller ones like Santa Rosa County ended up with 2,200 students. And there is some explanation for that we will get to in the end. So more people showed up than were budgeted. Slide 6 is interesting because it is going to just look at Florida Virtual, which are counted. They are also counted. That those numbers that we showed before for FEFP is all FEFP. It's not just the 67 school districts. It also includes our virtual education. So the next few slides focus on that. And we've obviously talked about this a lot, and we're working on some varying ideas for this. But the big interesting thing is you can see obviously the huge growth in virtual. that happened because of COVID, went from about 60,000 students to 113,000 students. And interestingly, most of them stayed. I mean, who would know? Most of them have chosen to remain in virtual education. Obviously, you can see about 10,000, I'm speaking in broad terms, about 10,000 of them have probably gone back to some sort of in-person school, but most of the people who went to virtual seem to have liked it, and just an interesting observation. Here's the five-year history of virtual FTE. This just shows you, what we've got in district and FLVS, because there's really a couple of ways to go to virtual school. So looking at FLVS, we'll start on the right. You can see they went from, let's say, 34 to 36 to 39, then the huge jump to 54,000 students, and then they've lost about 4,000 from 2021 to 21-22, so a 4,000 decline. The district run virtual went from 15 to 18, 21, 59, and then down to 53. So they've lost about 6,000 of their virtual students from year to year. Now, there are multiple ways to go to virtual education. It's not just, we've talked about these before. Here they are. This breaks it down. There are five, in addition to Florida Virtual, statute authorizes five different options to be listed. They are a contract with an approved virtual program provider, an FLVS franchise, which means effectively they're taking the FLVS product, slapping their own school logo on it, and then running it. A contract with an approved virtual course provider, as opposed to a pure program provider. The district creates its own virtual school, so it really is a virtual school, not just FLVS with a logo slapped on it. Virtual charter schools, and then FLVS. And so you can look at the differences, not only from 1920 to 2021, but then again from last year to this year. And what you're going to see is that even though overall virtual went down, two virtuals went up. A contract with an approved virtual program provider, that's outside private entity, that actually increased even as people started going back to school from about 7,000 students to 8,300 students, about 1,300 students. And then virtual charter schools increased as well, going from about 5,200 students to 8,300 students. They increased by 3,000. The largest decline, and I think this is something for us to ask questions about, is this something we should even be doing, is our school districts that literally just take the FLVS product and put their own logo on it. One would expect if the product was delivered with an equal degree of quality, the declines would be the same between FLVS and them. They are not. The percentage decline from the FLVS franchises is far in excess of what it is from FLVS. And we've seen some indication that that's not the only way in which there are challenges. But district developed virtual school programs declined. And again, you can imagine that. These are people who are like, oh, I don't want to send my kids to school because of COVID. There became a virtual option. They took advantage of it. It was easy. And now they feel comfortable sending their kids back to in-person school. And then the contract with an approved virtual course provider declined a little bit as well. So moving on to those two that we see, those two options, of the 8,273 roughly virtual FTE enrolled in approved virtual program provider option, again, that is that first line on the top there, 76% or three quarters are enrolled by that Hendry School District, and we've talked about them a lot. For the virtual charter school option, there are two districts, Hillsborough and Santa Rosa, who together enroll 71% of the reported 8,281 FTE. In addition, two new virtual charter schools reported virtual FTEs for the first time in the October FTE survey, the San Jose Cyber in Duval and Coastal's Connections Academy in Santa Rosa, which I know Representative Andrade has had a great deal of interest in. So members, this concludes the presentation. I am happy to answer any questions. Yes, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Fine.
Thanks, Rep. Valdez.
In reference to, on page six, do we know if these students are full-time virtual, or is it partially also credit recovery? Students that they may just take one class to recover the credit, do we know what the breakdown is?
So I believe I know the answer to this, and I'm going to turn off my microphone after I give the explanation and make sure that I'm not saying anything wrong. But so my son, Jacob, takes one class through FLVS. He is one of the first students in Florida to take Hebrew 1. Florida is the first state in the United States to offer Hebrew to every student in the state, if they so chose. Just so happened his dad kind of thought it would be a nice thing to do, and FLVS decided to do it. Turns out there's 300 other families with no marketing that also thought it was a good idea. So a real interesting opportunity for FLVS to offer niche courses that no school district could ever offer Hebrew, or there's probably 30 other languages that someone might be interested in. So he takes one of his seven classes, so he would count as 1/7 FTE. Now, these are not individual bodies. These are accumulations. That's why you end up with, you know, 0.89 of a person in that total. So this is not a count of students who only go to FLVS. This is a count of students, you know, whether they're going 1/7 of the time or 100% of the time.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to clarify that for those watching. Thank you.
Yep. Additional questions? Yes, Representative Hawkins, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. If I missed this in a previous presentation or in this, to me, when we look at funding and we go look at the charts of the schools that have dropped in students and those that have risen, are we able to tell how many of that is in-state transition or out-of-state in?
Thank you for the question. I actually these charts I don't think show what you're asking about. I do have that data in my bag, and I can pull it out if we want to talk about it. But this is not. When we say on this slide here that Broward is down 1,510 students, that does not say that they're down 1,510 students from last year. It means the number that we budgeted for them, and they work with us on that. It's not us. They had 1,510 students fewer than were budgeted for. I don't remember the number, but I can pull it out. But that 262 is still probably more than last year. Okay. It's just less. These are versus what was budgeted for. Right. This is not showing. And I'll next time someone asks a long-winded question, I'll reach into my bag and I'll pull out the sheet so I can actually answer the question that you're asking. But that's not reflected on this slide.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm not. I know what we're looking at here. I'm just trying to decide as funding and goes about next year how close we are and how that works. So, but. If nobody else is interested, I can get with you on it.
Well, that's why we true this up. That's what the purpose of the calculations are. So we have to true up. And we did create some reserves and things like that in the budget last year to account for these things. I just think we thought it'd be interesting to show the counties that were under and over. And there's no judgment here. It's just, this is not enrollment. This is what everyone thought their enrollment would be this year versus what actually showed up. And most of the differences, again, are pretty small, particularly on a percentage basis. I mean, Broward is getting a little bit of this, you know, their number looks big, but look, they're also the only one that starts with a six-digit number to put in the denominator of the calculation. So that's part of what's going on there. Okay? And I can, if we don't have time here, I have it in my bag and I can show it to you. Yes, Ranking Member Wilhite had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, as you just said, numbers are what they are, but it doesn't mean they're always in people's appearance on the surface what the facts are, because like you just said, just because they appropriated 263,000 doesn't mean that we're missing 1,500 kids in Broward. It means that there's 1,500 less actually than was appropriated. So I think that's where we sometimes start to get a little pause in these numbers or graphs here that you give, because we start to be concerned about what's actually at our school. Because if we obviously recognize that 1,000 people a day are moving to Florida, they're not just adults. There's obviously kids associated with those people moving here. So there would be kids starting. I have a question for you, though, and I think in what you said on page 8, when you said there was a question of why it was such a high number for, I believe you said public schools slapping a virtual curriculum on them, but they've decreased. But if I'm reading this correctly, is that Florida Virtual School is the largest decrease individually themselves. Is that correct?
No, it is not. So let me answer your question. So Florida Virtual School, Florida Virtual School, so everyone can pull in, this is where.
I'm sorry, FLVS.
FLVS.
Franchise.
Sure. Yep. Yeah, well, an FLVS franchise is when a school district takes the FLVS product and operates it themselves. FLVS isn't the one doing it. FLVS, which is the last line at the bottom. So if you look at the chart, we'll just sort of make, so FLVS went from 54,000 students to 50,000 students. So they lost 4,000 of their students. Roughly speaking, it means they lost about 8% of their enrollment. I'm rounding in my head. That same product being operated by school districts directly, they went from 30,000 students to 21,000 students, or 22,000 students. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. So they lost double the number of students on the same product, even though they started with only 55% of the same baseline. So their rate of losing students is more than double FLVS on the same, using the same product. One would think those percentages would be the same, and then I got but district developed virtual program, that is a, and I don't know what every county does off the top of my head, but if Brevard County creates Brevard Virtual School and they've actually developed it, that would be in that category. District developed virtual school is not taking FLVS, slapping your logo on it and then operating it. But so that had declines as well. And actually those declines were a larger percentage than FLVS also. But the real interesting takeaway for me from this chart is, again, when FLVS is operating it versus someone else is taking FLVS's stuff. And a good analogy would be, it's almost like a fast food restaurant. McDonald's owns the restaurant versus a franchised McDonald's. That would be the analogy. They're both McDonald's. But one, the company is owning, and the other one, they've given to a franchisee. In this case, the franchisees, for whatever reason, have lost students at a much greater rate than the non-franchisee offering of the same product. As it related to your other question, I did pull out the numbers. So if you remember, we had this slide back here. I got to get new glasses. All right, there we go. There's the ones where it looks bad. Broward's down 1,510 students. Year over year, they were up 2,300 students. So they went up 1%. They didn't go up as much as they thought they were going to go up. In fact, of all of these counties that we have listed on this page, the only ones that are actually down, Washington County's down 3 students. Franklin County is down 5 students, and Glades County is down 10 students. All of the rest of them are up. They're just not up as much as they projected that they would be up. And I'm not here with a theory as to why that is. There's lots of different reasons it could be. We're just sharing the information. But that should also answer Rep. Hawkins, your question. And anybody who wants a copy of this piece of paper, staff can give that to you.
Hello, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
So to expound on the page 8, is there any other organizations, groups that could be a franchise of Florida Virtual School, or do we know that it's only public schools that are using that franchise name or that you're categorizing that in?
Yeah, the FLVS franchises so we required, and we changed that last year, we required districts to offer virtual education options. So everyone can have FLVS. It's the one sort of statewide option. We also said, hey, districts, you have to offer multiple virtual education options. We changed that last year and we reduced it to one. But one of the options that we said they could do to meet this legislative requirement is just franchise with FLVS. And a lot of them do it because, it comes down to money. They want to keep the money in their school district as opposed to the money flowing to FLVS. But that's not the only, not all 67 school districts do that. Again, you've got some that have made up their own virtual education program. You've got some that have gone down the charter school option as well. But it is one option, and it's the one up there that is interesting because it's the most apples to apples between FLVS and an FLVS franchise. But those franchises are all with government school districts.
Okay. And then one more, sir.
Yep.
You know, we go back to the pages 4 and 5, where we're talking about a decrease in the full-time FTE and the largest increase in FTE. I mean, some of those numbers, when we're talking 5 kids, right, in Gilchrist, it's really not that significant. I know you're just showing it, right?
But no, yeah, we just put it up. I mean, again, there's no judgment here. This is just part of the reason for the third calc. We fund education based on attendance. And so we don't know what the attendance is going to be when we do the budget, and neither do the school districts. And these just happen to be school districts they're the largest numbers. I mean, this slide isn't even done by percentage. This one is just done by numbers, and that's why I said Broward County is sort of getting the short end of the stick, because it looks like a big number, but their starting point is off. I mean, to give you a sense, you know, they were off, that 1,500 students is only 0.6% of a difference. So it means they were, you know, 99.43% accurate in their prediction. There's no judgment call to be taken from this slide. It's more just educational, who undershot and who overshot. But, you know, the worst, by the way, the worst performer on a percentage basis was Washington County, which was off by 4.7%. But then again, it's only 161. It's only 161 kids. This is really just, it's for information.
And then finally, Chair, if we were to take all of page 4, but I know you only did a snapshot of the top ones, and if we took all of page 5, which wasn't just a snapshot, if all of those numbers equal out to decrease and increase, are we still saying on page 3 that we're still, overall, we've still only had a 55,000 number increase in all of Florida schools or options in the state over the last, last year?
So let me answer that by going back to the slide here. I've got to make the numbers bigger so I can see them. Yeah, slide 3 is the summary slide. So again, COVID year, if we all remember 2019, 2020, that was when everyone went home from spring break and never returned. And then 2020, 21, last year is sort of our COVID year. Attendance went down by 59,000. When it normally would go up, if you look, you can average the 3 prior years. So a 59,000 plus whatever the increase would have been. When we budgeted for this year, we budgeted for a 67,000 student increase. When they counted the butts in the seats, that 67,000 was low. It was 67,000 plus 44,000. So the total. So we came in above the appropriated amount, but again, you have to subtract out of that. We had 55,000 students come into the FEFP because our school choice bill allowed their non-government-run school option to be paid for through the FEFP. So it's really 110,000 less 55. So the increase in sort of traditional public schools of virtual virtual government-run and privately-run charter was a 55,000 student increase. So the takeaway is most of the students have come back, but probably still not all.
But, I mean, obviously the discussion around this legislature has been is that charter schools are public schools.
Right, that's why I said the 3 kinds of public schools.
Right. So that 55,000 really isn't excluded, because if charter schools are public schools,
they're in
not really excluded. We're just denoting it as a note that they came from another type of school or charter school, but they are still all public schools.
Correct. And my statement doesn't say that. When I talk about when I'm subtracting out 55,000 students to give you an apples to apples number, these are students that are taking family empowerment scholarships and not going to a public school. They're not going to a virtual public school. They're not going to a government run public school, and they're not going to a charter public school. They are taking their scholarship and either, you know, doing education at home, using their special needs, or they're taking their voucher to a private school. Those are 55,000 students that aren't going to any public school, charter, government-run, virtual. They're not going at all. And that's the 55,000 that we put in that asterisk.
Okay.
The charter's included in all those numbers.
Thank you.
Representative Williams, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Piggybacking off Representative Will Height, ranking member, when you was talking about the 58,000, I'm assuming, are those missing kids that we have been discussing in this number? And if not, where are they in the presentation?
So in previous presentations, you'll remember we did a presentation where we took that, you know, 59,000 and we actually trued it up because we said it really should be more than that because we normally grow. I think we sort of came to a number of around 80. And we said those kids are missing. And then you'll remember once a year, the legislature is given the other two ways you can legally be in school in Florida. So if you're my 10-year-old, by law, you must be in school in one of three places. You must be in public school, which again is can be government run, charter, or virtual. You must be in private school, or you must be homeschooled. And when you're homeschooled, the parent is supposed to turn in a form saying, hey, I'm homeschooling my kid. That way they can do those checks to make sure that they are actually learning anything. We did a presentation a number of weeks ago when we added those three numbers together, and you'll remember we still did find students were missing. We won't know until the end of this school year what those private school and homeschool numbers are. So we can only do that check once a year. We get, you know, public school enrollment counts fairly frequently, but we do not get the private school and the private school or the homeschool counts. That's a once a year number. But given that we were down, you know, 59,000 plus the normal growth, and we only went up 55,000 on an apples to apples basis, and there probably still are missing students out there. But we don't know. Follow up? Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, Representative Bartleman, you're recognized.
Yes, I would like to offer an alternative hypothesis on the charter virtual schools that franchise with FLVS, because I think it's too early to make a decision as to whether or not we should do away with these just because 8,000 went down. Most people who choose their county, like a Washington virtual or a Duval virtual, which is an FLVS franchise, do so because it's more of a close to home feel. The kids have activities, they have honor societies, they have clubs, because it's in coordination with the county and they have in-person events. And because last year was an anomaly and parents for the first time were like, I need to put my kid in virtual school because they have an underlying condition, I would say that you could hypothesize that a greater number of parents who wanted that hometown school feel chose those schools, and now they're back. You could hypothesize both of ours. So what I'm saying is that to make a sound decision, because there are parents and school districts, and Florida Virtual is incredibly happy with the franchise models they have because some of them are very successful. And I would say no decision should be made until next year, because really last year was an outlier with the quarantine and the COVID.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, Representative Hawkins.
Thank you, Chair. Just do we have any update on how many schools have requested the money that was set aside for finding students? Do we have any more information on that?
I don't know it. We pull that almost every week, and I can get you that number.
Okay, thank you, sir.
But I will tell you, we looked. I think you may remember. I don't know if I shared it in here, but I think as of a week ago, it was still about 80% of the supposed borrowed COVID relief money to open schools that were already open had not been spent by either school districts or the state. It was $12.4 billion. And that's not all. I mean, that money was sent to two pots. One was to DOE for state spending, and one is to school districts. But even the original Trump March CARES money, not all of that had been spent. And by the way, that has to be spent like in the next 6 months or it goes away. So yeah, there's lots of that money left.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Any other questions? Okay, well, seeing none, we're gonna wrap up. Our meeting next week is on Thursday, January 27th from 11:30 to 1:30. We will publish our meeting notice next Tuesday. So with that, members, this concludes our committee agenda. Seeing no further business for the committee, Representative Hawkins moves we rise. With that, without objection, the meeting's adjourned.